The next one is the state of open source XR, Monando and Beyond, by Christoph Haag.
Yeah, thanks for the intro. You took my words from me. That's right. Yeah, as I was introduced, my talk is about the state of open source XR, which is basically about Monado and what you can do with it. My name is Christoph Haag, and I've been working at Collabora on Monado for a long time now. So in this talk, we will go very, very quickly about VR hardware and tracking systems, because this is important for the open source software support, which is basically the bigger half is exactly these tracking systems, and the smaller half is basically everything else, like how to communicate over USB with these, how to correct what the lenses do. Then we will take a quick look at the state of Monado, and then lastly, what you can actually do with it. How does the ecosystem look like? Hardware in VR starts 60 years ago, but for this talk, this is basically uninteresting because these old VR headsets were super laggy, super low resolution, if they were affordable. And only in 2012, when the Oculus Rift DK1 was released, smartphone displays were coming up, and they were small and low latency and low persistence. You didn't get ghosting, so it was finally a good experience with those. So this Oculus Rift DK1 only had an IMU. This means this headset knows where gravity is, because gravity is an acceleration, and it can track your rotation, but it doesn't know your position. If you take a step to the left, the headset does not know that it needs to render the game world to the right. That's where tracking systems were developed. In commercial consumer headsets, there are basically three systems for this. One was LED tracking, nicknamed constellation tracking. The second one was lighthouse tracking, and the third one is SLAM tracking. We will take a very, very quick look at those. LED tracking looks like this. In the second iteration of their headset, Oculus put LEDs on the headset and shipped it with a camera that watches these LEDs. And because the software knows the configuration of the LED, you can basically backwards infer how this headset, where it is positioned in space, if you have an image of it. And you use computer vision for that. Valve came out with the lighthouse tracking system. You don't have a camera for that. You have these boxy base stations that sweep your room with lasers. They don't send anything to your PC. Everything that is sent to the PC comes from the headset. There are sensors on the headset that detect when the laser sweep of these base stations hit each sensor, and you do basically the same, reverse infer how your headset has to be positioned for this timing of each sensor being hit to be possible. And the third one is SLAM tracking. Microsoft started with a whole slew of vendors who made headsets for this. This one in the image is from Acer. I have one from Medion here. You don't see any camera or base station in the room here. You only have cameras on the headset itself, and you use a more complicated computer vision algorithm to detect features in your environment. A feature is something like an edge or a corner. And apparently, it's possible to redetect these from different angles. So if you store all of these features that you have detected and can redetect them, then you can also detect your position relative to them. If this was too fast, then don't worry. This was just an overview. And what you should take from it is that there are basically three tracking systems that you need to implement if you want to cover all the hardware that is out there. Here's a list of a lot of these headsets. I'm not going over all of them. In the lighthouse column, you have a lot of high-end headsets and enthusiast glass headsets. On the SLAM tracking column, you have more affordable ones. And LED tracking has been kind of fallen out of favor, except for one case, and that is the Windows Mixed Reality headsets are SLAM tracked themselves, but you can see that the other person has controllers in their hands, and there are LEDs on the controllers. And the cameras on the headset will track these controllers. So even if you have a SLAM tracked headset, you still need a LED tracking algorithm to track the controllers for this headset. There are also standalone headsets. Everything I mentioned so far is you plug in an HDMI and a display port or USB to your PC, and the PC does everything. Standalone headsets like the Meta Quest pictured here basically have an Android device inside them. These are typically bootloader locked. You can't root them, you can't flash your own software on them, so they are not very open source friendly. But there are some exceptions. The Lynx R1, for example. Lynx is a European startup, and they had a lot of issues with the supply chain and shipping them, so it's unfortunately very hard to get one of those. But if you get one of those, here's a post-market wiki link. You can install it. It's not very useful yet, but you can hack on it. There's also the Steam Frame on this slide here. Steam Frame is what Valve will release very soon. We don't know exactly yet what they are going to ship. Most likely they will not ship their SLAM tracking or their controller tracking open source, but probably they will have a more open hardware platform than most and will be hackable. So how does the software for all of this look like? In 2013, close to the announcement of the Oculus Rift VK1, OpenHMD was started. You can see a picture here that was taken at FOSDEM 2019. I am behind the VLC guy with the traffic cone. It was in the J building over there. But OpenHMD is not very active anymore. It's now basically unmaintained. OSVR was another SDK that came before Kronos made a unified API. That was an effort by a company called Sensix, which made the software, and in cooperation with Razer, who made a headset. And had a complete camera tracking solution and a complete open source driver. But for one or another reason, they didn't make it in the market, and they ceased operations, and OSVR is basically unmaintained too now. I say basically because we have one of the original maintainers of OSVR at Collabora, and she has still push access and sometimes maintains it a little bit, but not much anymore. In comes Monado. Kronos in 2018 finally made the push to make a unified API for XR. And like there is Mesa for OpenGL and Vulkan, we wanted to have an open source implementation for OpenXR. And that's how Monado was born. And it's loosely based on the Mesa design. For example, how it implements OpenXR is via a state tracker, just like Mesa implements APIs in state trackers. There's a very long list of drivers that currently exist for diverse hardware. And of course, this list is incomplete. You can help by expanding it by writing a driver. And like I said, the bigger half of supporting VR hardware is the positional tracking system. For LED tracking, we have a simple tracking framework that we started for PSVR. But I guess people thought it's not theory heavy enough. The more promising approach is what a community member named Phaeton, Jan Schmidt, has started in OpenHMD. This is currently being ported over to Monado in various branches. It's not upstream yet. But if anyone wants to help there, then please come to our community channels and talk to the people who are doing this. For Lighthouse, there is an open source library called LibSurvive. it's almost usable, but as usual, people who have this skill set are very busy, and currently LibSurvive is minimally maintained by Collabora. What most people actually use is a closed source and a wrapper for SteamVR's closed source Lighthouse tracking, because that's basically usable for using for playing real games with it. And for SLAM tracking, we chose an academic SLAM tracking system called Basalt. We improved it a bit, but it's still quite CPU heavy. Tracking quality is not quite reaching commercial systems yet, but you can use it. At this point, I can maybe show how this is actually looking like. With this headset here. Oh, this is very low resolution. So like I said, this SLAM tracking system is detecting stuff in the environment and can, oh, this is very, very low res, this screen. And it can determine its own position relative to all the features that it detects in the environment. More for that later, if I have the time. We also have a hand tracking implementation that I... Jeez. I don't know if you can actually see this in this lower screen here. No, let's skip this. You just have to trust me on that. We trained a model on open and on synthetic data that is included and usable with Monado. So these cameras can watch your hands and make a hand model and detect where your joints are. Let's skip a little bit ahead because I'm low on time. One thing you can use Monado for is, if you were a very quick reader, you could have seen an Android driver in the long list of drivers. You can install Monado on an Android smartphone, and you get basically what Google had with Google Cardboard, which was like this cardboard, little cardboard smartphone holder. You can use this with Monado, but I don't have an Android phone with me today. I have a post-market OS smartphone, and you can also run Monado with an example application here. It's probably very small, but you can see that it's running. This is on a completely open source stack here with Turnip as the Vulkan driver. So if anyone wants to build a standalone headset, you can use this as a platform on Linux or on Android. Yeah, and if you want to start hacking on any of the drivers or any of the other software in Monado, then it's a very good idea to come to the community. Discord is where most of the people hang out. IRC is unfortunately not very much used, but we do bridge all of our Discord channels to Matrix too, so you don't have to actually sign up for Discord. So there's a lot to be done for the future. The trend goes to mixed reality, where headsets detect all sorts of stuff in your environment. They can detect keyboards, mice, objects, semantically label them, construct a mesh from the environment. Stuff like this is not in Monado yet. For a long time, it seemed this would be very difficult to implement, but in the last few years, the commoditization of AI looks very promising, actually. AI is a lot more than just LLMs or image generators. A lot of AI is actually used for perception and for making a model of the real world. that can be very helpful for open source, because it's not, you don't need a whole computer vision PhD department to use these. So this could be also an interesting thing. So what can you actually do with it? One thing is that people want to use their desktops while they are in VR. You can imagine if you put a headset like this on your head, you don't actually see your PC, you don't see your keyboard, you don't see your mouse. And people want to put their desktop windows into VR. So this is a demo video I shot about 2 years ago. There's a Raspberry Pi connected to a Valve Index headset, and what's running on there is WXRD, which is a desktop solution that we at Collabora made. There is color paint, and I'm scribbling on it with a Valve Index controller. I think it's a Hive controller. But that is something you can do with it, even though nope. Even though we don't have a lot of time to maintain XR desktop at the moment, there are alternative options. VR is made by the community. Stardust XR is a lot more ambitious. It's aiming to create a whole comprehensive display server and support multiple OpenXR applications at the same time. So there's a lot of movement in this space. You can develop games and applications with a lot of frameworks. Godot is open source, and the biggest engine here, LoveVR, is on the LoveLua engine. OSXGR is used in Flight Gear. StereoKit is another small framework, baby. All of those run on Monado and are then running on a complete open source pipeline. The web ecosystem, unfortunately, does not look as good. Firefox is striked through here. It does support some web VR. It's support is OpenVR only and not OpenXR, so it doesn't run out of the box on Monado. It only runs on Windows. Their WebXR support is not complete, and they fired their XR developers a few years ago. So currently, they are not putting a lot of effort into this. Chromium looks kind of better. It has an OpenXR implementation, but it appears not to be interested in Linux support. And I'm basing this on having waited 10 years for them to support it on Linux, and they haven't so far. But who knows, with the release of Valve's Steam Frame, they might change their tune, because the Steam Frame ships with Steam OS. Currently, what's out there is WebKit. Egalia is working on it, and there is partially working WebXR support. I do have a demo for this. If you start WebKit, you get a browser here. This is a WebXR test page. This is the sponsor scene that many people will know. That's a WebGL application, and there is a button, Enter VR. If you click it, you get a permission pop-up. Do you want to go into VR? And if you do, then outside of the model right now, But you can see this is working WebXR, it's tracking the head, and you would see this on your headset if my HDMI cable to the headset actually worked. And I see my time is up.